Recently, WBUR's City Space brought together two best-selling authors, fiction writer André Debuse III, whose novels include House of Sand and Fog and Townie, and Matthew Desmond, who won a Pulitzer for his real-life account of homelessness in the book Evicted. Both knew poverty as kids, André after his famous father, André Debuse II, left his mom, Matthew after his dad, a pastor, lost the family home to the bank.
Our moderator, Robin Young. Take it away, Robin.
In André's new novel, Such Kindness, he writes about Tom, who grew up eating saltine and butter sandwiches. Tom became a carpenter, was building a new life when, bam, he fell off a roof and back into poverty. In Matthew Desmond's new book, Poverty by America, he explains how when people like Tom fall, the safety net becomes a trampoline. They bounce from problem to problem, and Matthew says that's by design. I started with him.
Matthew, your thoughts of how André painted the picture of poverty.
One thing that André, I think, captures really critically is how poverty is much more than a lack of money. And it's often this compiling, exhausting piling on of problems, including physical pain. And the protagonist of the book is just wrestling with pain. This is one thing that we often forget about poverty, how it inserts itself into our bodies and kind of lives under the skin. There's also like a neighborliness. And I've lived in some very poor neighborhoods and some affluent neighborhoods. And I've never experienced the kind of neighborliness I've experienced in poor neighborhoods outside of them.
And André, I know you hadn't read Matthew's book while you were writing because it wasn't out yet. But then you did. And yeah. Did you see things like when I turned the page and there was the poor selling plasma? You know, yeah. Selling their own blood the way Trina does, your character, the neighbor of Tom's. What did you think when you read his book?
Well, you know, I was just so angry. The question is, if you're driving by and you see a homeless person, you see abject poverty, the question that we tend to ask as a culture is, well, what kind of bad choices did she make? And his wonderful point in the book is the question should be, who benefits from that kind of poverty?
Yeah.
I found myself wonderfully outraged.
I want to find out where you got Tom. He's in pain, can't work, can't get his car, which has been impounded, can't drive, can't see his son, decides to sell his tools, they get stolen.
The troubles cascade. You know, I've got a fancy sounding name, but I grew up in first world poverty with a single mom, and I watched this woman, my mother, we're either going to pay the rent on time or have heat. We're either going to buy groceries and put gas in the car to go to work, but rent's late again. I'm sort of hardwired for scarcity in the way you write about so beautifully in your book, Matt. I was a self-employed carpenter for years. And if you don't work, you don't get paid today. You go to work sick. And so now I'm a writer and a teacher, and I can call in sick and still get paid. So the question was, what if my career as a writer never took off? What if I'm still doing work as a carpenter? What if I took a fall and I couldn't take care of my family? And that's where he came from. He came from some of my deepest fears that have never gone away.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Matthew, son of a pastor who lost his house.
I grew up in a railroad town called Winslow, Arizona, which is in that Eagle song that you guys are all singing in your heads right now. Our gas got shut off regularly. And then when I was in college, the bank took our home. I think that drove a question inside of me a little bit about why this is the way the country deals with problems when families fall on hard times. And then for my last book, I moved into very poor neighborhoods in Milwaukee. And that's where I saw poverty that I had never seen before. I saw grandmas living without heat, saw kids routinely evicted. I saw sewage backed up into bathtubs. And that's really where I started pursuing this question about why. You know, why is the richest country in America harbor this hard bottom layer of poverty?
The richest country in the world, with a gross domestic product larger than the combined economies of Japan, Germany, the UK, India, France, and Italy, has more poverty than they do.
So we are weird. And I think that we have to face the fact that there is so much poverty in this country, not in spite of our wealth, but because of it. And many of us in this room are connected to the problem. Many of us consume the cheap goods and services the working poor produce. The welfare state in America is imbalanced. We give most to families that need it the least in the form of tax breaks.
Explain more. I mean, some of us have government-subsidized employer health care plans. The invisible welfare that we don't see.
Mm-hmm. Until someone tries to reform it, and then we really see it, right? So if you own a home, you are eligible for one of the sweetest cutouts in the tax code. It's called the mortgage interest deduction. You could take it on your first and second home, including your yacht or your RV or, you know. And that costs the country about $193 billion a year. That's more than triple the direct amount we spend on direct housing assistance to the needy.
Yeah. It's so interesting, Andre. So many of the things that Tom encounters are outlined in Matthew's book.
Mm-hmm.
Exorbitant fees. Talk about the fees.
Oh, my main character is, he drives his next door neighbor, who's half his age, Trina, to sell her plasma for rent. Forgets his license. That's $500 driving without a license. He's driving with expired registration because he didn't have the money to fork over the 40, 50, 80 bucks. That's another $637. And then the fines for towing the car and then keeping the car. You know, Matt, one of the many things I love about your book, the rich just have to pay their fair share, as do corporations. Poverty goes away.
So I want to end poverty in America. And so one place to start is just to ask, well, how much would that cost?
Say that again. You don't want to just make things better.
No, I think we should embrace the moral charge of becoming poverty abolitionists. And if we're poverty abolitionists, then we look at poverty not as something we have to live with or something we should want to reduce, but something we should want to eradicate. During COVID, we cut child poverty by 46% in 6 months with a one simple program. It was called the Child Tax Credit, which was basically guaranteed basic income for moderate and low-income families with kids. 46% reduction in child poverty in 6 months. We could do this. It would cost an estimated $177 billion to lift everyone below the official poverty line above it. Something that's completely within our grasp. Like a study a few years ago showed that if the top 1% of Americans just paid the taxes they owed, that we as a nation could raise $175 billion a year. So we could just about fill the poverty gap.
Well, give one example of why we know they're not. Facebook in Ireland.
Okay, so there's a lot of shenanigans going on. And one of the shenanigans is that corporations are registering places of business in countries that have far lower tax rates, like Ireland or other places. But we do not have the people power in Washington to police this and collect us. Now, this is about how a lot of us talk about our taxes.
How can I pay less?
Yeah. And what if we started talking about all these benefits that we often don't see because we're looking at what we have to pay and not what we don't have to?
Amen.
Just to finish the Ireland, Facebook claimed to have made something like a million-y things in Ireland, which you figured out would have been 10 million from every employee.
And they were like super productive employees in Ireland. Yeah.
So in other words, they were hiding profits there.
Yep.
Yeah, but then you go on to explain how little of the aid to poor people actually gets to them. Is it 22 cents on the dollar? Oklahoma uses part of their federal money to pay for programs that promote marriage.
Right. So some anti-poverty programs are incredibly efficient, but others aren't. And this is Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, or TANF. A lot of states use the money to fund anti-abortion clinics or Christian summer camps. Some states don't even give out the money at all. Like Hawaii, our bluest state, is sitting on so much unused welfare money that they could give every poor kid in the state $10,000. And so this is one example of how a dollar in the budget doesn't mean a dollar in a family's hand.
Matthew Desmond. His new book is Poverty by America. Andre Debuse III's new novel is Such Kindness. Matthew went on to detail how not only is welfare money often misspent by states, but the poor often don't apply for it. Online forms are impenetrable, or people are ashamed, something Andre knew about.
You know, my own mother, we were eligible for Section 8 housing, food stamps, and whatever program. She didn't take advantage of any of them.
So what does it mean to be a poverty abolitionist?
Matthew Desmond says it means not just abhorring poverty, but understanding it corrodes you too. So what to do? Well, buy from and invest in companies that pay union wages. Figure out who you can influence to make change, maybe your place of work, your university. Go to town hall meetings. Tell officials you want affordable housing, you want diversity in your kids' schools. And talk differently about taxes.
Like the next time tax season rolls around and your neighbor or your coworker's like, dude, taxes, maybe we should be like, dude, I know, I get this crazy tax break just from owning a home. And I wouldn't lose a lot of sleep over it, except like we have more than 1 million public school kids today that are homeless. And so I've donated my savings to my like local anti-eviction group, and I've written my congressperson saying you should wind this down for me. Like that'd be an awkward conversation, but that's how we change the common culture in this country.
Matthew Desmond. Andre DeBus III, thank you. Thank you. Our conversation at WBUR's City Space with authors Andre DeBus III and Matthew Desmond. Their books, Such Kindness and Poverty by America. And by the way, Matthew says if you want to be a poverty abolitionist, you should also join an anti-poverty group, and he just happens to have suggestions.